Now it's 3 o'clock, afternoon theater.
The Hidden Face. Radio play by A. Elliot Cannon, adapted from the mystery thriller by Victor Canning. With André Medi as Catherine Swinton and Kerry Francis as Peter Barlow, two people thrown together by chance who join in a grim and relentless search for the Hidden Face.
That sink's blocked because I put sand in it.
Yes, I know you did. That's why I'm here.
It's naughty. Mummy says so.
She's right. It is. What's your name?
Mary Ann Louise Beckworth.
Get her. How'd she like to be just a number like me?
I like my name.
Yes. It's a real name, that. Just one of hundreds at Parkhurst. Charming people, of course.
What's your name?
Just one prisoner out of hundreds. Same as all the others. Except they're there for very good reasons. I'm there because somebody wanted me there.
What's your name?
Same as the others, only different. What's more, today I'm on an outside plumbing job. And today, I'm making a break for it.
What's your name?
Barlow's my name. Peter Barlow.
Hurry up, Barlow.
Okay.
Barlow's not much of a name.
Not as good as Beckworth, eh?
Oh, no.
No. Now, let's just see it all drains away again, shall we? Yes, it's farewell to sunny Parkhurst today. A chance that shouldn't be missed.
Going away, all right.
It is, isn't it? There.
Another cup of tea?
No, thanks. I'll have to be taking him back.
What about him?
Cup of tea, Barlow?
No, thanks. The job's finished now.
All right, then. Come on. Let's be getting back.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's all right.
Good day, then, Mrs. Beckworth.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's have you then, Barlow. Lead on. Look alive.
Okay, okay. Now's the time. I'll give him a present of his plumbing gear.
Keep moving.
Now's the time. Now's the time.
What the...
Ow!
Get
him!
Get him!
Governor's office.
The Barlow's away, sir.
What?
Scarpered after doing a plumbing job in Nicholson Street. He knocked me down and ran.
Right. Prentice, what? Man away. Escape drill. All working parties back here as quick as they can make it.
Very good, sir.
Get out of the forest. We must get out of the forest. You're trapped in here. Oh, that's it. Now, along the edge here, and across the road. A patrol car! Down! Oh, that was a near thing. Right. Across the road. done it. Yes. This is the cornfield I was told of. Right. On all fours round the edge of it. That's the only way. Yeah. Oh, God, this place hell with your knees. Oh, damn the heat. Shouldn't be surprised if we had a storm. We should see the roof of the bungalow soon. Red roof, it said. A bungalow with a red roof and green and white garage. Hey. Hey, that's it. There it is. Red roof. Green and white garage. Oh, what a monstrosity. But it's all mine for tonight. Right. Through the orchard and round to the back door. Now, better knock just in case. I'd have a hell of a shock if anybody answered. Made it. I made it! Sandra, I'll have to get rough.
You're already being rough.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
My name's Swinton, Catherine Swinton.
Well?
I was coming here to spend the night.
This isn't your bungalow.
And it isn't yours. I've more right to be here than you have.
What the hell do you mean?
This happens to be my aunt's house.
Possibly. But I've rented it for a week.
If you rented it, then why are you so scared?
Scared?
You were afraid I'd cry out.
I've not been well. My nerves on edge. Why are you here?
I had a job at a hotel. The manager started getting ideas, so I've walked out. Until my mother sends me some money, I'm stranded.
You could have gone to the police. They'd have fixed you up.
I could go to the police, and they'd fix you up.
What do you mean by that?
I heard in town that a prisoner had escaped from Parkhurst today.
Now, look here!
Oh, I know. You're not wearing prison clothes, but you've just dyed your hair. Some of the dye's running down your temples.
You see too much and think too much. A damn sight too much. I need a drink. Should be a bottle in this cupboard. Uh-huh. Whiskey. You better join me.
I don't want any, thank you.
I'd like you to. First whiskey I've had for 2 years, and I need to share the pleasure.
All right. A small one.
Good. Just do as I say, and we'll get along. I don't want trouble. Soda?
Please.
There. Well, here's luck.
You'll need it to get away. Nobody ever escapes from the Isle of Wight, they say. The water always beats them.
I'll get away. Look, I'll have to explain the position. You walk straight into it. I escaped this afternoon. It was all laid on. Bungalow, money, a hired car in the garage, a fake driving license to get me to the beach, a boat waiting offshore tomorrow night. A friend of mine outside set it all up for me.
You're lucky to have someone to set it up for you.
Yes, I am. Now, maybe if you gave me your word not to say anything for a few days, if I let you go, I'd be perfectly safe, but I can't risk it. I'm in no position to trust anyone. So until I move from that beach tomorrow, you've got to stay with me.
Suppose I won't do as you say.
You're in the hands of a dangerous man. I was in Parkhurst for murder.
Murder? You don't look like a murderer.
I'm not. You won't believe me, but I'm not. I've served 2 years of a life sentence, and I'm serving no more. I'm out to find the real murderer.
The real murderer?
The man who really did it.
Do you know who he is?
No, I don't even know where to start. But I'll find him.
I see. All right. I'll do as you say.
Good.
What do you want me to do?
Stay here tonight.
What?
I shan't hurt you. And tomorrow, get in the car and drive across the island with me. If we're caught, you can say I forced you.
But you're going to drive openly across the island.
How else? It'll be easier having a girl with me. All you have to do is to make it look as if you're off for a picnic with your boyfriend.
All right, I'll try.
Thanks. You can use the bedroom.
Oh, thank you.
I'll sleep here on the settee. You're sure nobody will miss you?
No, I'm all alone. And I'm hungry.
Like some supper?
Well, wouldn't you?
Yes. Carry on, it's all yours. Bacon and eggs in the fridge.
Fine. My aunt will never believe this. Who can that be?
My friend checking up. Excuse me. Yes?
So you made it?
Yes.
Good. Can you manage?
I think so.
See you tomorrow, then.
See you tomorrow. Was hell. I always felt fine when the show started.
The paper today had a piece about your time in Malaya fighting the terrorists. It says you had a distinguished record, won a medal.
Yes, but we shan't go into that. My pal should have been the one to get the medal, but he was killed. It was my fault he was killed, too. I made a wrong decision.
That's easy enough. You don't blame yourself too much, do you?
Sometimes. Tom was a fine man.
The paper says you could speak the native language out there.
In Malaya?
Yes.
Just about.
Did you study languages?
Not really. Tom was the linguist. French, German, Spanish. Even had smatterings of Polish and Hungarian.
Well, I speak Hungarian.
Do you?
My mother is Hungarian.
I wondered where you got your exotic looks from.
You keep your eyes on the road, Mr. Marlowe. An accident wouldn't suit you right now. Aren't you worried about police roadblocks?
A bit, yes. But I feel more confident this morning. You being with me makes all the difference.
Oh, dear, another compliment?
Yes, although it's got its practical side. We are just a holiday couple going for a day on the beach. My hair's dyed, I've got fresh clothes, dark glasses, and a driving license that says I'm John Allen. That's my new name. But you're my best disguise.
John Allen. Your friend thinks of everything.
So do you. Thanks for being so cooperative. I mean that. The picnic basket and bathing things are just the right touch. You know, I'm lucky to have bumped into you and not some hysterical girl who would have complicated matters. You've taken things very calmly.
Wouldn't help either of us if I didn't.
And my friend's rather like that. Always so calm and methodical about everything. He's rather well known, so he's taking a hell of a risk for me.
You're sure you know the right way?
Yeah, I checked the map this morning. It's a spot where there's a very low cliff.
There'll probably be a roadblock at the next crossroads.
Well, we'll know in a minute.
Paper says they had tracker dogs in the forest last night.
Yes, and they caught a cold. Round this bend. There it is.
They're stopping all the cars.
Looks like it.
Well, don't worry about me. I shan't give you away.
You've got me in the palm of your hand. This is it. Smile, if you can.
Can I see your license, sir?
What's the trouble?
A prisoner escaped, sir. Where are you going?
To the back of the White for a swim. Just touring around.
All right. Don't leave your car unlocked anywhere.
No.
This license, sir.
Yes?
You haven't signed the last renewal.
Oh.
Better get that done. There you are, sir.
Thanks.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
And thank you.
I don't think we'll be stopped again. They probably only have checkpoints on this side of the island.
Yes, maybe.
Now, for the beach.
Yes.
Relax, Mr. Allen. Make the most of your day in the sunshine.
Police, Inspector Nichols?
Hello, Inspector. No news of Bardo yet?
Not yet, sir.
No luck with your roadblocks?
Not so far, sir. It's my belief he's still in the forest.
You're probably right. Just the time of year when there's plenty of cover, too.
Yes.
Well, wherever he is, he won't get across the water. The water always beats him.
then, when I was 8, my father was posted to the consulate in Budapest. We were there, 4 or 5 years, till I went to school in England. I never saw my father again. He died when I was 14. Look at the way the sun's sliding down into the sea. It'll be dark soon.
The time's passed very quickly. We seem like old friends.
Help me up, will you? My leg's gone to sleep.
Oh, there.
Thanks. Well, we should be all right now. Nobody's bothered us. In fact, we haven't seen a soul all afternoon.
Except those two men.
Oh, yes, but they must have been all right. Nothing's happened. We've been here ages.
Yes.
I must go. I'll take the car back, as you say.
I'll come up the path with you.
When you get away, what are you going to do?
Here, let me give you a hand onto the path. Do? I'm going to find the man who really murdered Hansford.
Thanks. You say Hansford was a blackmailer.
He drove my father to his grave. Oh, he deserved to die. But I didn't kill him.
Somebody did.
Yes. And as luck would have it, he did it the very night I'd called to tell Hansford what I thought about him.
He must have blackmailed other people as well. Any one of them could have been the murderer. Have you got anything to go on?
No, not a thing.
Suppose I... Oh, just a minute. I've got a stone in my shoe.
Oh,
that's better. Suppose the police catch you and put you back in prison.
Then I'll escape again. Oh, nearly there. Quite an easy climb, really.
You speak for yourself. Well, I wish you luck, but I think you're rather an optimist. Oh, we're there. Whew.
You think I'm mad?
I'm sure you are. But it's the kind of madness I understand. Or I wouldn't have helped you. After all, needles have been found in haystacks.
Yes, it is rather like that.
Well, we won't have long to wait now.
No, I think I'll stay here. I'll lie in the gorse on that ledge until it's quite dark. Well, thank you, Catherine. You've been a great help.
I don't mind admitting I didn't like it at first. It seems different now, though.
If I win free, really free, I mean, with a pardon and so on, shall I see you again?
If you want to. Good luck, Peter.
Goodbye.
I still say we ought to have come back earlier. Fine thing if we miss him in the dark.
Well, my guess is in the gorse at the top of that low slope. We know the girl left him at the top of the path, and there's a ledge just there. It'll be easy to get at him.
You're quite sure it's him? If he's an escape con, where'd he pick the girl up?
Where he's come from, I should think that's about the first thing he would pick up.
Damn good looker, too. But how do we get at him?
Just do as I say. You find the path and go up it slowly. I'll find another way up and cut off his retreat.
I see, I'll do the tough bit. I'm the one most likely to meet him.
Oh, go on, up the path. I'll take the torch. Maybe I can spotlight him for you from above.
All right, stand up and don't give any trouble. He thinks I can't see him. Put the torch on, Rance. That's it.
Yeah, what's all this about?
Walk slowly down the path towards my friend, Barlow. And remember, I'm coming behind you.
I'm not Barlow, whoever he is. Who the devil do you think you are?
You come quietly with me.
I warn you, don't come any closer. You're making a mistake.
Save it for later. Get moving.
Don't get too close to him. Look out! Oh,
I warned you, didn't I?
Oh, you want to play rough, eh? Okay, then. I'll suit them. Take. Mind the edge! You damn fool, you never spoke over the edge!
He's got away.
Oh, yeah, like hell we will. Pull yourself together, man. You're not dead yet.
Oh, I don't feel far off here.
But we've got to get him. Come on!
Catherine, what the devil did you come back for? This is no place for you.
The car's gone. I didn't know what to do, so I came back looking for you. What happened?
The two men we saw this afternoon came back after me.
What?
Look, they're looking for me with a torch.
Oh!
I'll have to take to the water. Stick with me. I can't leave you here now. Here, take my hat.
Right.
All right. We'll have to wade further. Hurry!
Oh, it's so cold. It takes your breath away.
Yes, it's getting deeper, too. Can you swim?
Yes, but I didn't bargain for it.
There's no other way. Now, 50 yards out, there's that rock we saw this afternoon. We'll make for that. It's too dark for them to see us now. Right. Start swimming.
Gosh, it's cold.
By the water's edge. He may have taken to the water.
Bring the torch,
then. Can't be much further now. Oh, we can't swim the portsman. Oh, it must be around here somewhere.
Oh, I hope so, Peter. I'm getting cramped.
Hold on. I see the rock. To the right.
Where?
Or to your right. Here. Let me help you.
Oh, no, I make it. I'm all right. I see it.
Just one last effort. Oh, well done. Here we are. There's a small ledge. Feel here. Have you got it?
Water.
Well, let me get up first, and I'll help you. No. Oh. Now, take my hands. Up. A little more. Right. There. Oh. What about the cramp?
I think I'm all right. All right now. Yes, it's gone. Oh, that's better.
Fine mess I've got you into.
Oh, look. Look, the torch is going further along the beach.
Hmm? Now, listen to the sound of oars. They'll row a dinghy out from the launch.
Who are they?
My friend and his manservant. You may recognize him. He's a famous surgeon.
Oh?
His man's an ex-sailor. Been together for years.
Oh, look! Look, the torch is coming back!
Yes. Wait. That's the signal!
What?
They're here! Let's give them an answer. Ark! Ark! They heard it!
Those men are shining the torch out to sea.
I can hear oars. Oh, don't you worry about the torch. They're not going to get us now. Take to the water again and swim out of it. Not far this time. Over here!
Close to the furrow. Who's that flashing torch on the beach?
Can you get us out of this, crew?
Oh, the two of you.
Yes.
Blimey.
Well, you'll never get into this nutshell in the water. Hang on to the stern, and I'll tow you out to the launch.
Peter?
Thanks. Oh, this is a different world, Mr. Rosspiper. It's a miracle.
I suppose it seems like that to you. I see so many miracles in my work that my sense of surprise is dulled. I take things as they come.
Just look at the sun gleaming through the mist. The shafts of sunlight on the water. That's another miracle.
Maybe. This girl. It's a pity you had to bring her into this, Peter.
Yes, I know. But I had no choice with those men on the beach.
Yes, so you told me last night. It's still a pity.
You don't have to worry about her.
I'm not worrying about her or about myself. It's you I'm worried about. Take those two men. It would have been better if the police had thought you were still on the island. You've got a deal of trouble ahead of you, my lad.
I know that.
I wonder if you do. Look, Peter, I'm a good deal older than you. I can talk to you as your father would have done. I helped you because I know you're innocent. And because I knew if I didn't, you'd still manage it on your own. You're the stubborn kind who generally gets what he wants. But what's your next move? You're an innocent man and you aim to prove it. But how? What single concrete thing have you got to go on?
I realize it's not going to be easy, sir.
Easy? It's damned impossible. Now, listen. The police are after you. They're not fools. When you get ashore, you're going to have to watch every step you take. You're going to have to watch yourself every second. Because somewhere, there are a lot of people watching for you, night and day.
I know all that.
You think you do. You think this is like one of those army jobs that you and Tom used to do. But in those days, you belonged to a side. There was always someone to help you back to base. But now you're alone.
What are you getting at, sir?
Oh, you know as well as I do. It isn't easy for me to say this, but you've got to clear out of England altogether, Peter.
What?
I've got a passport for you, a new name, a passage. You're still young. You can start somewhere else.
I'll always have this damn business hanging over my head.
True, you'd never be Peter Barlow again. But that's only a name. At least you'd be a man, not a convicted felon. Free, with a lot of full years ahead of you.
No.
Peter, think. Can't you see you've got as much chance as a snowball in hell of finding your man? Face the facts, Peter.
Look, I was born Peter Barlow and I'm staying Peter Barlow. I don't want to be John Allen in Buenos Aires who's afraid to go to bed at night in case he talked in his sleep.
All right, Peter, I said my piece. I won't mention it again. But I hope that sometime, before it's too late, you'll change your mind and ask me to fix it for you. How are your ribs?
Oh, better now you've strapped them up.
Must have been quite a fall down that cliff. Drools, got any coffee left down there? I could do with a cup. You'd like another cup, Peter?
No, thanks.
One cup, Drew.
Right away, Governor.
You know, I believe Drew was wearing the same patched serge trousers last time I was on this boat. He hasn't changed a bit.
Neither have you.
Hmm?
Oh, no offense, boy. Forget it.
I'm sorry when you've done so much for me.
Coffee, Governor?
Thanks.
Oh, what she decided to do?
You were right, Drew, as usual. Mr. Barlow is as stubborn as ever. I give him 2 weeks.
Bad luck being spotted on the beach. Now they know you're away. And the girl, Mr. Barlow.
Yes?
No offense, I'm sure. She's as nice a piece as ever I've seen, but...
I'm right behind you, Mr. Drew. So you watch what you say. I shan't give Mr. Barlow away.
Yes, but what about the governor? She was just telling me she recognized you, sir.
Well, that's the penalty of fame, Mr. Ross Piper. But I'm safe enough. I give you my word.
There, Drew. Now stop fussing over me.
You must be cursing me, Catherine.
Why should I? I'm enjoying it. I haven't been in a boat for ages.
I can think of better ways of coming aboard.
But not more exciting.
Now, Peter, let's plan the next step. We should be off Rye about 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. We're putting you ashore in a light dinghy.
Hmm?
You'll have to row yourself.
Well, how about his wrist?
I'll manage. It's not far, is it?
Well, it's only about a mile to Camber Sands, but it's a devilish hard row. You'll go on top of the tide, of course.
Mm-hmm. And what do I do with the dinghy?
Hide it in the sand dunes for Drew to collect later. Cross the golf course to the road. Meanwhile, we shall have put into harbour, and Drew will meet you at the car near the clubhouse.
I see.
You take the car, you drive to Canterbury, where we booked a room for you. In the car, you'll find a suitcase, passport, and £500 in notes. Any questions?
Couldn't ask for more, could I?
Look, why can't I drive the car for him?
Mm-hmm.
Put me ashore at Rye instead of Drew. I could meet Peter, and we could travel together as far as Canterbury. Then I could go on by train to London, and then to my home.
Hmm.
That's a very good idea, young lady. I spend every June at Rye, and Drew's rather well known. It would be better if he weren't seen handing over the car. Right, take over, will you, Drew? I'm going below for sleep.
Yes, sir.
I'm not used to late nights.
Let's go and sit forward. The sun's coming through.
Sense, miss. What does he mean?
Oh, Ross Piper wants me to get out of the country while I can. Now, let's sit here.
I stayed below because I thought you wanted to talk to him. Well, I see his point of view.
Well, I don't. I'm not running away. Somewhere, the man who really murdered Hansford is laughing his head off.
And you're really going to risk going back to prison when you've got the means of getting out of England just for this flimsy chance of finding this man?
Yes, I am. Oh, don't look like that. That's the face Ross Piper pulled.
You're so stubborn.
Yes, so I've been told. You don't like that?
Oh, but I do. Mr. Ross Piper's point of view makes sense. Not for you. That's all that matters. You must do what you feel you have to do.
Change your mind and decide to slip out of the country. Good luck.
Thanks.
I'm from the Rye Police, sir.
Oh, yes?
You both this morning?
That's right.
We've been asked to warn you, sir, that this escaped prisoner, Barlow, may try and get in touch with you.
You think so?
Oh, yes. If he does, you'll let us know at once, won't you?
Of course.
Good. You knew him pretty well, sir, a few years ago.
Yes. He was my son's friend. They served together in Malaya.
I see, sir. Would you mind telling me how I could get in touch with your son?
That won't be possible, I'm afraid. My son was shot by the terrorists.
Gone very quiet, Peter.
Oh, just tired. My ribs have been aching from the fall down the cliff. Well, that long road didn't help matters.
Do you mind being driven by a woman?
Never gave it a thought.
Look, are you sure you're all right? You're very pale.
Close confinement, I'm all right.
According to the papers I bought in Rye, they think you're still on the island.
Well, they must know I'm away by this time.
Seems odd. Perhaps it's a blind, but I can't see the point of it. Those two men on the beach are bound to have reported it to the police.
You think so? I've got a feeling that they may not have reported it to the police.
But why not?
At the moment, I've no idea. Catherine, why do you believe my story when you've known me such a short time?
Well, you meet some people and you know about them at once, that's all. And Ross Piper believes in you. You're lucky to have a friend like him.
Him and you. I'm lucky all round.
I wonder what you really look like.
How do you mean?
With the dye washed out and your hair fair.
Oh, that.
Peter, there is something the matter with you.
Oh, it's damn silly, but I can't stop shivering. Oh. I had malaria once in Malaya. I hope it's not going to hit me again just now.
Look, shall we stop at a pub and try and get some brandy?
No, they're not open yet. Just get me to that hotel in Canterbury. Oh, I'm sorry to make such an exhibition of myself, but to tell the truth, I feel terrible.
Look, you're in no shape to be left alone in a hotel in Canterbury. You faint or something and have inquisitive people fussing around you. You need a few days in bed. Look, there's only one thing to do. We live in the country, a few miles from Oxford. I'll drive you there. You'll be quite safe, and Mother and I'll look after you.
Oh, but Catherine, you've already done...
It's no good arguing. I've made up my mind. Hello. I brought your breakfast. May I come in?
You can, if you'll tell me why I didn't see you all day yesterday. Where were you?
Sit up.
Right.
Eggs, bacon, coffee, and toast.
Aha!
And some of Mother's own marmalade. So you better say something nice about it when you see her.
Now, that's something really like a breakfast. I'm ravenous.
Good. Would you like to get up today?
Oh, try me.
Mother says men hate eating off trays, but I just wondered. You seem to be getting awfully fond of that bed.
Well, it's very restful. Lavender-scented sheets, an orchard outside, birdsong, homemade marmalade, a pretty nurse. Wonderful. Anyway, how long have I been here? I must count.
5 days.
Good Lord, have I really? I don't remember much about the first day. You know, you've been very good to me, you and your mother. Not many women would calmly accept a convicted murderer in their best bedroom.
Mother entertained many distinguished people when Father was alive, but never an escaped convict, she says. Mother's very shrewd. She believes in you, too.
I can sense that.
And we think you need a little spoiling.
Oh, marvelous. But, where were you yesterday? I missed you. Your mother said you were away on business.
Yes. I'll tell you while you eat your breakfast.
Oh, all right.
Now, you may not remember, but the night before last, you told me all about Hansford blackmailing your father.
That's right.
And the worry killed your father, and when you found out about the blackmail, you went storming down to Sussex to see Hansford on the very night that someone else killed him.
That's right.
You also said that Hansford used to be with the Allied Control Commission in Europe and was court-martialed. Now, you seem to think the court-martial might be important.
Yes. But it didn't seem to hold Hansford back in any way. 2 years later, he was set up in Sussex as a country gentleman.
Oh.
Beautiful house, beautiful furniture, beautiful mistress. Italian she was. Mrs. Carla Lodi.
Lodi?
It was her evidence that convicted me. She saw me leaving his house. And she vanished after the trial. I had a private detective trying to find her.
You think it might help to find her again?
It might. But that court-martial, I don't know why, but I feel there's something funny about it. Oh, that's just a hunch.
Your hunch may be right. I went up to London yesterday to do some detective work for you.
The devil you did.
I called on an old friend of my father's at the War Office. I told him I was doing some freelance journalism and wanted some information about Hansford for a background article on your escape.
Oh?
I bullied him a little, I'm afraid.
Oh, I bet he loved it.
Well, the long and the short of it is, I found out 3 things. First of all, Hansford was court-martialed for the illegal sale of captured enemy equipment.
Yes, I knew that. Doesn't seem much there.
No, but then I found out that there'd been another charge which was dropped.
Another charge? Oh, that sounds interesting.
I couldn't find out what the charge was, though.
And the third thing?
Yes. Hansford's CO at the time of the court-martial was a lieutenant colonel called Drysdale.
Drysdale?
I found out his present address. Near Kew Gardens.
Catherine, that's marvelous. Kew Gardens. I'll go and see him tomorrow.
Oh, no, you won't. Hmm? You're not fit yet. The day after will do. He'll keep.
Bullying me, too. All right, me girl, have it your own way. Now, I'll try your mother's marmalade.
Mr. Ross Piper's. Who's that calling, please?
Morning, Drew.
Blimey. We've been having kittens about you. Look, the governor's out just now. Are there any messages? And watch yourself.
Yes. Just tell him I'm staying with the young lady and that I'm just going to see a Colonel Drysdale. I'll let you know how things go.
Right.
Goodbye. Now.
Yes.
Oh, Colonel Drysdale.
Yes.
Alan's the name. Wondered if I could see you.
Who are you? What do you want to see me about?
I'm a reporter on the Record. We're doing some stuff on this man, Barlow, who escaped from Parkhurst. We want some information about Hansford, the man he killed. I believe you were his CO.
What about it? I'm very busy.
Oh, we'd pay, of course, for anything you gave us.
Oh, I see. Well, that's different. Time is money.
Personal impressions, you know. May I come and see you?
Yes, that's all right.
Be there in half an hour.
Now, come in, Mr. Allen. In here.
Thanks.
That's better. Sorry to have been so cagey on the phone, old boy. The fact is, most of the people who contact me aren't welcome. Bailiff types, the people who want money.
Yes, of course.
You know how it is, eh?
Yes.
Retired pay wouldn't keep a cat alive these days. Now then, what can I do for you? A drink? Whiskey?
Well, thanks. A small one, please, yes. What we're after is human angle stuff on Hansford, particularly his war experiences in Germany.
Oh, yes.
The War Office gave me the bald facts about the court-martial. Chap I saw down there suggested you might fill in the details.
Ah, there we are.
Thank you. Your health.
Cheers. Yes, well, of course I remember Hansford. Never really cared for him. Bit of a squat. As he was court-martialed for selling captured enemy lorries to German black marketeers.
Yes. But what about this other charge that was dropped?
What do you know about that?
Not much. That's the trouble. They were a bit embarrassed at the War Office because they seemed to have lost part of their records. That's why they told me to see you.
Lost their records, eh? Damn lot of incompetence. However, if they sent you to me, I suppose there's no harm in telling you.
You see, sir, our angle is that Barlow has always maintained his innocence. If he didn't kill Hansford for blackmailing his father, somebody else did.
Of
and
course.
What for? This other charge may be a lead. Anything would help. And, of course, my paper likes to pay for its information.
All right. £20?
Fair enough.
Good. Sorry to be a mercenary, old boy, but these days...
Yes, of course.
Well, now, I'll tell you. The second charge was suppressed in the interest of public security.
Security?
Yes, you see, the Germans planned to undermine our economy by distributing forged banknotes.
I see.
The most outstanding printing technicians they had were Jews. So they gathered the four devils together in one particular concentration camp near Radl Zipkava and put them on the job.
Forging the banknotes?
Yes. And when the end came, Himmler ordered the destruction of all the notes, the plates, dyes, etc. But we, my men, that is, took over the camp in time to recover a lot of the stuff. It's my belief Hansford got hold of the plates and dyes and smuggled them back to England.
Mm.
Yes, you could get anything back in those days if you knew the ropes.
And that was the second charge, smuggling the plates back?
Yes, but it was so hot, they dropped it.
Yes.
Well, and that's really all I can tell you, old boy.
Right. Well, here's the 20. Well earned, Colonel.
Ah, thanks, old boy. Well, if that's all, I'll see you out.
Yes, of course.
Do you mind going out the back way?
Oh, of course.
I don't like advertising the fact that I'm at home. Otherwise, they keep knocking at my door with wits.
Yes, quite.
This way, old boy. Now, out of this door and through the yard gate.
Yes.
Then turn left down the lane.
I see.
Cheerio, old boy.
You've been very helpful.
Not at all, old boy. Cheerio.
Bye.
Here we are again, Barlow.
Try and lose us this time, Barlow.
Oh, this is a surprise. My friends from the beach. I'm glad to meet you again. I'm just in the mood.
When we finish with you...
When you've what?
Speak up. Come on, don't be bashful.
You've broken my arm. Kill him, rat.
All right, Barlow, this is it.
I don't think so, brother.
Why, no. Get off.
You picked the wrong man, Rance. Well, that's your name. The army taught me to look after myself. How's that, Rance?
No.
Now give it a rest, Rance. That's my advice. Just give it a rest. Well, I'll say that for them. They don't give up easily. They got straight after me. I had a hell of a job losing them in Kew Gardens.
I know who the devil they are.
Well, one thing's certain. They knew I was coming out of Parkhurst and they were waiting for me. And they were waiting for me when I came out of Drysdale's, too.
You say you telephoned him first. Do you think he tipped them off?
It looks like it, doesn't it? And make no mistake about it, they had no intention of handing me over to the police. They were out to finish me off. Somebody's afraid I'll cause trouble. How many people knew I was coming up?
Drew?
Coming, sir.
It's not something you can keep in the family, Peter. The passport, the driving license, the bungalow, the car. But we did it very carefully, didn't we, Drew?
Did I?
Mr. Barlow thinks there must have been a leak about this escape.
A leak?
Well, how about the messages passed to me in prison? A chap called Gippo always gave them to me.
Well, I found an ex-convict who got the messages in, sir. Cost £100. I don't know how he did it, but shouldn't think he did it himself.
Did he know you were going to take me off that beach?
He had to know. He's the chap who picked the car up afterwards.
What's his name?
Look, sir, I wouldn't want to get him into any trouble. He's just a small crook. A nice, quiet little man.
What's his name, Drew? I must know.
Tell him. It'll be all right.
Well, if you say so, Governor. Arthur Fisher.
Arthur Fisher.
I don't know where he lives, but I always used to meet him at a pub near Hampstead Heath. He goes there most evenings.
Your change, sir?
Ah, thank you. I'm looking for a Mr. Fisher, one of your regulars, I believe.
Fisher?
Yes, could you point him out to me?
Oh, yes, sir. He's in that corner. A little chap with the spectacles.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Evening.
Oh, hello.
Mr. Fisher, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Do I know you?
I think you do.
What?
Mind if I sit down for a moment?
Well, I'm damned. Cool, you got a nerve, Mr. Beef. Every copper in England's looking for you. You got away real smooth, and I don't like that.
I've come to thank you.
Oh, I've been paid, Mr. Beef. I've been paid.
I want to ask you a few questions.
Well, of course you do. You didn't come just to thank me, I know that. Let's have the questions.
All right. You ever hear of a man called Rance?
Rance? No, Mr. Beef.
Hmm. Mr. Fisher, you know why I was sent away.
Yes?
You know why I'm out? Because I want to find the real murderer.
Didn't you do it, Mr. B?
No.
Well, I'm damned. Of course, I've been inside a few times myself, but I always done it.
What's more, the man who did it, or his friends, knew I was coming out and tried to stop me.
Did he now?
You had somebody pass messages to Gippo. I'd like to talk to him.
You're asking a lot, Mr. B. Look, if you was picked up, the less you know, the better. I don't know if it's ethical.
I'm not dealing in ethics.
But ethics is ethics in my business. Say you go to the bloke who got the messages in the park first. He's going to be offended. And when the people in my parish are offended, well, they don't just sulk. I can't afford to be razored at Ascot.
The racing in Ireland is just as good. You know, I think a trip to Ireland and 50 quid in your pocket would be very good for your health.
Oh, you're a good doctor, Mr. B. Yeah, go on, fill out the prescription.
Right. Here's the 50 under the table.
Oh, tar.
Now, what's the man's name? I shall call on him tomorrow.
Dakin. Henry Dakin.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Poplar. You know Matfield Road?
No.
Oh, well, I'll tell you how to get there.
Yes?
Good morning. I'd like to see Henry Dakin.
Oh, you would? And who might you be?
I'm a friend of his, in a way.
What way?
Look, do I have to fill out an application form? Henry and I went to the same college. Tell him I'm from Gippo.
Oh. Come in, then. Arthur Moe. Henry! Someone to see you. Says he's from Gippo.
All right.
He's lying down. His health ain't very good this morning. Top of the stairs, first right.
Thanks.
You'll excuse me, I'm sure, but I've got to get the dinner.
I'll find my own way. First right, you said. Mr. Dakin?
That's it. Come in. Make yourself at home.
Well, I'll be... Rance's little playmate. Fallen over any good cliffs lately, Mr. Dakin?
Aye.
And what's this round your arm? Been fighting, have we?
I don't know what you mean, chum. I broke my arm falling downstairs.
Oh, yes.
Have some beer? Oh, I celebrated my birthday last night. Wish I hadn't. Never see 51 again. Matter of fact, first thing this morning, I didn't think I'd ever see anything again.
Oh?
Well, excuse me while I have a drink. Only thing that keeps the pain down.
Go on, my head.
Ah. So, you're from Gippo, eh? I didn't get the name.
You can cut the comedy. Now, you know who I am, and I know who you are. You and a man called Rance tried to kill me. I want to know who wants me out of the way.
You know, chum, luck's a funny thing. You don't want to press it too hard. Take a tip from an ex-jockey.
Jockey, eh? That's your car outside.
Yeah, why?
That mascot on it took my eye. Jockey on a racehorse. You know, luck's an uncertain horse, Dakin. When you're riding it, you may as well use the whip and press home. My luck led me to you. Now I'll flog through to the finish. And if you don't feel like talking, maybe I could smack you about a bit to jog your memory.
Nobody jogs Henry Dakin about. Least of all, Mr. Bloom and Peter Barlow.
We'll see about that.
You'll get this... bottle in your face if you come any nearer.
I think not, Dakin.
Your aim's pretty poor today.
Keep away!
Hurry on up here. Hey, what have you done to Henry?
Hit him harder than I meant to. But it's nothing compared to what he's done to me.
You best get out, mister, while you can.
There's no point in staying. He's no good to me like that. Oh, tell him I'll resume our conversation some other time when he's feeling more himself.
Henry, you all right? Henry! Are you all right?
What the hell do you think? Help me up.
He's gone.
Of course he's gone, you useless lump. Think he's going to stand and do the dishes for you? Next time I'll meet that perishable. My head. He's going to cause trouble now. You go and find the boutard. The number's on that bit of paper on the mantelpiece. Oh, get it under the clock.
Oh, there's no paper here.
What? Oh, the basket. No wonder he didn't stop me. Look, he was leaning on that mantelpiece. You'll have to look it up in the book. Get moving, woman, or you feel the back of my hand.
All right.
Phone the boutard and tell them Barlow's been here.
Was that Barlow?
It weren't the angel Gabriel. And don't use his name over the phone. Say Chippo's friend. They'll get it.
Restaurant?
Oh, that is 246-8021.
Yes, Le Boutard Restaurant.
Oh, can I book a table for one this evening? 7:30.
7:30. Name, please?
Alan. A-double-L-E-N. Very busy tonight?
Oh, no, signore. It is rather early for us. We begin to fill up in an hour or so.
Ah. Tell me, I'm rather intrigued by those decorated panels on the walls. Who's the artist?
Everybody admire those, signore. They were done a few years ago when the place is open. A Hungarian or a Polish gentleman, I think, the artist was.
Oh, yes.
He signed himself Sava. See, there is his signature on this panel.
Oh, yes.
This one is drama. Each panel is a different, signore. A different subject.
Yes, there are several well-known actors and actresses there.
Si, si. Yeah,
the likenesses are quite striking.
Si. And behind you, signore, is his masterpiece, Liberation.
Oh, yes, of course. Good grief.
It is very affecting, signore, eh? The British relieving a concentration camp.
Yes.
I believe the artist was in such a camp himself.
Yes. As you say, it's very affecting. Sava, eh?
Si, Sava. Would you like your coffee now, signore?
No coffee, thank you. That was a really excellent meal.
Ah, grazie.
In fact, I enjoyed it so much that I should like to tell the proprietor so myself.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Signor Lodi is away for a few days.
What?
But I can convey his pleasure to the chef, eh? Or perhaps you would like to see Signora Lodi.
Signora Lodi? No, please, don't trouble her. Anyway, it's much later than I thought. I must go.
Grazie.
I have a train to catch.
You can pay. What is it?
Catherine?
Peter! I've missed three trains. I was getting worried. The car's just here. Any luck?
Yes, I think so. Let's get in and I'll tell you. Well, there's so much to tell, but tonight was the most extraordinary.
What happened?
I went to a small restaurant in Soho.
Yes?
There were some wall paintings there. One of them showed the relief of a concentration camp. And there, staring at me out of this picture, was Hansford.
Hansford?
Large as life. Standing up in a jeep. Thick red lips, blown up face. It was Hansford, all right. And apparently the artist is called Sava.
Sava.
And it means that he knew Hansford, too.
Yes?
And it ties up with something that Colonel Drysdale said. Catherine, I must find this Sava.
Yeah, how did you get on with Drysdale?
I'll tell you the whole story in a moment. You know, it's good to be with you again. I've missed you.
I've missed you.
Catherine.
Yes?
I've been wanting to tell you.
Yes, Peter.
Catherine, I'm in love with you.
Oh, I wanted you to say that.
Darling. Oh. Oh, God, this is crazy.
crazy for you and impossible for me.
Nothing's impossible.
Oh, look, I'm a convicted murderer, an escaped prisoner. I'm on the run. I've got nothing, nothing.
What's it matter? We love each other. That's all that matters.
Barlow.
Good morning, Mrs. Swinton. I was just watching your ducks in the stream and thinking how good it would be if our lives were as simple as theirs.
Yes, they are fascinating creatures, aren't they? Now, how you like my garden?
Oh, I like your roses.
Oh.
You know, my father was mad about roses. They actually named one after him.
Really?
Yes, I bet they won't name one after me, though.
Catherine is cooking breakfast. It won't be long.
Oh.
Today, I'll go to London for the day to see my sister. You see, we meet once a month, and we get sentimental about the good old days in Hungary, you understand?
Yes, of course.
Well, I put you in charge of the boiler, young man.
Oh?
Catherine is hopeless with it. It's a beast, but I shan't accept any excuses from you if you let it out. However, I fear the worst.
Oh, I don't see why you should. I'm an engineer. Boilers are my specialty.
Then I fear the worst for two reasons.
Oh?
One, because you are an expert, and this boiler delights in humiliating experts.
I see. And the other?
Have you ever been in love before?
Well, not really.
Then let me explain that being in love makes you forget important things like feeding boilers, cats, and poultry.
I shan't fail you.
I hope not. But more important, I hope you won't fail, Catherine.
You can be sure of that. Anyway, how did you know?
I knew before you did.
Oh?
She often said she has been in love before, but this time, it's quite different. You see, she has an appetite like a cart horse, but she has eaten practically nothing since you came here. She's a girl who can look after herself, and then she pays the other people the compliment of thinking they can do the same. But yesterday, and the day before, while you were in London, she was as fussed as a hen with one chick. It's not at all like my daughter.
Now, look, don't you worry. I'm going away tomorrow, and I shan't come back until I'm free.
But you have such a lot to learn. If you are in love, you will come back, free or not. That's what's all about. Making sacrifices and claiming them. Doing silly things and having as much control over yourself as a piece of thistle down in a western gale. Oh, it's wonderful, but so irritating. Thank heaven I shan't have to go through it all again.
Oh, go on.
Well, you will have the day to yourself.
We'll have a quiet day in the garden and a quiet evening by a log fire. I haven't been able to do either of those things for a very long time.
Hmm. Well, don't wait for me. I may be late. And I have a key.
It's been a marvelous day. Just sitting around doing nothing.
Except stoke the boiler.
Yes, except stoke the boiler. You're tired.
Doing nothing always tires me.
Do you want the radio off?
No, keep it on.
You know, this is quite the nicest day I've ever spent. But tomorrow, whatever you say, I'm on my own. Back to London.
Oh, don't spoil it, Peter. I'm too sleepy to argue with you. We'll worry about tomorrow when it comes.
You comfortable?
Too comfortable to move, if that's what you mean.
I was thinking about the boiler.
Oh, I know you were. I believe you're scared of my mother.
Oh, I'm scared of both of you. I'd better see to it before she gets back.
She won't be back for an hour yet.
Well, I've kept it going all day. I'd hate it to die on me now.
Oh, if you insist. I was nearly asleep.
Look, you go to bed.
No, I'll wait for you here. Peter, do you really love me?
Very much. I shan't be 5 minutes. Well, that's the boiler tucked up for the night. There. Wasn't long, was I? Hey, Catherine. Where are you? Catherine?
Don't move, Barlow.
What?
I've got you covered.
Rance.
You made it easy for us.
Where is she, Rance? What have you done with her?
She's safe and sound outside in the car. Your car. With Dakin.
What?
Now, don't try and start anything or she's liable to get hurt.
Let her go. You don't want her.
We want both of you. Didn't guess we'd find your little love nest, did you?
I don't give a damn how clever you are. You found it. That's enough.
We weren't clever. You were just stupid. You were spotted at the restaurant. Like a damn fool, you left your return ticket in your raincoat. The rest was... Right, Barlow.
This is it.
Now, don't try anything. Remember, the gun's pointed at the girl. Give me the ignition key.
There you are.
Lovely. And switch off your lights.
What are you going to do with us?
Well, now, we're at the top of a steep slope leading to the river. You and Barlow and the car will soon be at the bottom of that river.
Sounds delightful.
You can't do this to a girl. Leave her out of this.
If you wanted it that way, you should have kept it that way.
It's common sense, John.
Got the whiskey, Dakin?
Yeah.
Right, pour it all over them. Splash some on the seat.
Right.
Hey, what the blazes do you think you're doing?
All right, Dakin, let's get out.
Okay. We've got to try something, Catherine. He may shoot. Keep your head down and get ready to jump for it.
Okay.
Right, Barlow. Guess what happens next?
Well, I suppose you hit me over the head, let off the brake, and we crash into the river.
Right, first time.
You'll never get away with it.
I will, you know. I've got the gun. Yes, a man, a girl, a car drawn up in a field at night, whiskey, a little lovemaking, and by accident the handbrake is released. An accident, Barlow. They happen all the time. Where's the bottle, Dakin?
Aye?
The whiskey bottle. It's got to be found inside the car.
I'll chuck it away.
Then you'd better find it.
By this edge somewhere.
You damn fool.
Down, Catherine.
What the hell?
I've let the handbrake off.
Get after her.
Follow. Follow.
No, you'll never do it. Take it out of the way. Those flaming dogs. Where the hell's the car?
Can't see it.
I thought we'd never get clear of the car before it hit the water. It was horrible.
You were marvelous.
Well, I couldn't have done it on my own. You made me.
I had to.
Yes, I was scared of jumping out, but I was far more scared of not doing as you told me.
Cruel to be kind.
You're sure they're gone?
Yes. The lights in those houses frightened them off. Look, we better get moving, too.
Well,
we can be back at the cottage in 10 minutes.
You don't think there'll be a reception committee?
If there was, we'd still have to go to make sure your mother's all right. But they won't try again tonight. And in the morning, we'll have gone. Catherine, no nonsense. When we get to Paddington, we separate. I'll get Ross Piper to find me a room somewhere in London. You get off to your aunt in Wimbledon. They won't bother your mother, but they'll bother you if they find you. From now on, keep out of it.
I still think I ought to stay with you. I'm your best disguise, remember?
I can take care of myself, but I don't seem able to take care of you very well at the moment.
It's you I'm worried about.
Look, I've got a gun now. Your mother gave me one that used to belong to your father. She's an amazing woman. Hey, Catherine.
What?
That man who just went down the corridor. I'm sure it was Colonel Drysdale.
Drysdale? He's coming back.
Yes, it is Drysdale. He's got a nerve.
Hello, boy. Mind if I come in? Ah, morning, Miss Swindon.
Good morning.
What do you want?
Well, as a matter of fact, old chap, it's rather difficult.
Skip the nervous old boy act, Drysdale. After what you fixed up for me when I left your house in Kew and what you planned for me and Miss Swinton last night, it's all I can do to stop myself beating you to pulp.
My dear fellow, I give you my word, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. You know who I am.
But that's why I'm here, old boy. Your name's not Alan. You are Barlow. Came to me the moment you left my house.
It came to you a damn sight earlier when I first telephoned. You had two men waiting for me outside.
Look here, old chap, we're talking in circles. Perhaps I better put all my cards on the table, though it isn't easy in front of Miss Swinton.
Don't mind me.
Well, it's like this, Barlow. After you'd gone, I realized who you must be. I telephoned the record and found they had no reporter called Alan. Then I got onto the War Office to ask for clearance on Hansford's court-martial. Said the press were after me. They put me onto the very major Miss Swinton saw. He, very obligingly, told me about Miss Swinton and gave me her address. I put two and two together and came down here. Found where Miss Swinton lived and trailed you both to the station this morning.
Why?
Money, old chap.
What?
Well, I'm hard up. And you are, Barlow. Well, I've only got to... Dash it, do I need to explain?
If Peter doesn't buy you off, you'll go to the police.
Yes, reluctantly. I don't like it, old man, but I really am stuck for cash. Lord knows what the chaps at the club would say.
How much?
150, cash.
You must hate yourself for doing this. All right, Drysdale, 150. But I'll save you from earning it the way you meant. You can get it by selling me some information instead.
Oh, glad to, boy, glad to.
Do you know a restaurant in Greek Street called La Boutarde?
Afraid not, above my touch.
Well, the walls are decorated with murals. One painting represents liberation. It shows the British were leaving a concentration camp. And in it, there's a detailed likeness of Hansford.
You mean it's Radel Zipkava?
I imagine so. Ah. Now, I'm interested in the artist. I'm told he was a concentration camp prisoner himself. A fellow by the name of Sava.
Sava? Oh, I know Sava.
You do?
Yes, Hungarian Jew. We released him from Radel Zipkava. Oh, yes, he paints, but he's also a very fine engraver. The Germans made him work for them on those forged notes. Yes, he and Hansford are great friends.
Uh-huh.
I see. You think Hansford started the forged notes racket here, and he needs Sava to help him. Oh, his real name is Kostovich, by the way.
Kostovich.
Do you know where he is now?
Yes, heard from him last Christmas. He's got a house in North Wales, near Capel Curig, High Furs.
High Furs, Capel Curig. Right. 150, you said? Fivers?
Splendid. Damn good of you.
Yeah.
Yes, not a bad fellow, old Kostovich. Scrubby little devil. Pathetically grateful. Used to cry at the drop of a hat. He went through a hell of a lot.
150.
Thanks, old man. Well, one day the horses will run right, and I'll pay you back.
Good day. Good luck. Well, what the devil do you make of him?
I like him.
Hmm.
I believe him, too.
It could be a trap.
No, I don't think so.
Well, whatever it is, I'm bound to go to Capel Curig.
We're bound to go, darling.
What?
You're not ditching me at Paddington now.
Brintellac Hotel, Capel Curig.
Hello, this is Mr. Allen. I'm staying at the hotel.
Oh, yes, Mr. Allen.
Could I speak to Miss Swinton, please?
I'll get her. Oh, no, 1 minute, sir. She's just passing. Miss Swinton?
Yes?
For you.
For me? Thank you. Hello?
Catherine?
Peter, I've been worried. Where are you?
I'm sorry, darling, but I didn't want to involve you anymore. I'm ringing from an AA box just outside High Furs. Listen, sweetheart, I've seen Drysdale.
Here? In Capel Curig?
Yes, I saw him in the bar, but he didn't see me. He's at the hotel. He must be double-crossing us.
Oh, he's in good company. That's what you did to me. Now stay right where you are. I'll come and join you.
I was a fool to ring you. You'll catch your death of cold in this rain if you don't catch anything else.
For the last time, Peter, I'm where I belong. And if you do go into that house, I go with you. Understand?
All right, I surrender.
Now, I wonder if that side door is unlocked.
Yes. Yes, we could try it. We might be seen crossing the lawn. But we can't sit here all day. Mm. Better make a dash for it. Ready?
Right.
Now, run for the door.
We're in.
Yes. So far, so good. Nobody in the passage. Hey, look. Through there.
There's someone sitting at the table.
Yes. Let me go first. I've got my gun. Right, put your hands up and get slowly to your feet. Come on.
Peter. Don't you see? He can't.
What?
He's dead.
Yes, he's dead all right. Scruffy little Kostovich.
He Must be. Look, this box of tablets and the glass.
Yes.
He's poisoned himself.
Poor little devil.
Well, there's nothing much here. Just a sort of studio. All this junk, paints, candles.
Peter, there's a letter here.
What?
Looks as if he'd just written it.
Yeah, show me. Yes. I can't make it out.
It's in Hungarian. I can read it.
We'll save it until we get out of here. Catherine, just look at his fingers.
Paint?
No, it's ink. It's printer's ink.
Oh.
Well, can't you smell it? Hey, there must be a press here somewhere.
It's not in here.
Well, I bet it's up those stairs. I'm going up.
Oh, be careful. There may be someone up there.
If there had been, they'd have been down by now to see who was here. Don't worry. Yeah, this is a forging plant, all right. Fake palm notes all over the place. But all the equipment's been smashed to pieces.
Peter, this is a confession. It says...
Well, where do I come down, darling? Hey, this is fantastic. Presses, plates, ink all over the place.
Oh, Peter, for heaven's sake, I must read you this confession.
Everything's scattered as if he wanted to leave plenty of evidence.
Peter, come down. This letter tells who killed Hansford.
What?
Yes.
Catherine, who the devil was it?
All right, Miss Swinson, keep your voice down.
Catherine?
Blimey, Kostovich has snuffed it.
And written a fancy letter first, eh, Miss Swinton? I'll have that, please.
Very well.
Yeah, watch it. Gentle, back! She's through that ruddy window.
Blimey, rat, she's like a precipice this side of the house. She's trying to get down it.
Well, get after her.
What about Barlow?
I'm here.
Damn.
Just hold it. For once, I've got you covered.
Now stop playing Superman. Take a look at your girlfriend. It's bloody suicide.
What?
God, she'll never make it. She's slipped. She's gone.
Catherine, get out of my way, Dickon.
Get after him.
Get after him yourself. He's got a gun now. Now listen to me for once, chum. Kostovich is dead. The girl's probably dead. Barlow's dangerous. I don't like the odds anymore. I'm pulling out.
I'm sure you're right. For all you know, Kostovich rang for the police first.
Let's beat it.
Inspector Jones, Sergeant Evans here at Capel Curig. I've got a Colonel Drysdale here with information about Barlow. He says he followed him here and he's possibly in some sort of trouble at a house called High Firs. Yes, I ordered a car.
Put that down on the sofa, sir.
Gently, please.
How did you get her back, sir?
A passing car gave me a lift.
Look, we must get a doctor.
Oh, well, you're lucky, sir. A gentleman's just booked in.
Oh?
Mrs. Morgan's gone to fetch him. Comes here often for the fishing. Famous surgeon, Mr. Ross Piper.
Ross Piper? Then get him, man.
Oh, it's all right, sir. Mrs. Morgan just... Ah, here he is now.
There's been an accident, I understand. I'm a doctor. Let me have a look. Blankets, Morgan, please.
Yes, sir. I'll get them right away.
How did you get here?
Catherine rang me yesterday to say you were coming up here.
She didn't say anything to me.
No? Well, she felt I ought to know. I came in case I should be useful.
How is she? She shows no signs of coming round.
Yeah. Well, she's had a nasty crack on the head.
Well, the whole thing blew up in our faces. We came looking for a Hungarian painter called Sava. Ever heard of him?
Sava? No, I can't say I have.
He's mixed up with Hansford. Was, I mean. He's dead.
Is he? How did that happen?
Suicide. He left a letter confessing everything. It tells who killed Hansford.
Good God. So you know, at last...
Well, I don't, because the letter was written in Hungarian. But Catherine knows. I've got the letter here.
Then keep it safe. I've given her an injection.
Is she all right?
She will be, Peter. I'm going to have to operate. She's fractured a bone in the temple, and part of it has been driven in.
Oh, God.
Don't panic. The hospital at Bangor, and the surgeon there's an old student of mine.
But you'll do the operation yourself, won't you?
Oh, I wouldn't let anyone else perform this operation. Of course, I mustn't pretend there isn't a certain risk.
You mean she may die?
I've said there is a risk.
But you won't let her die. You're the best brain surgeon in the country.
I phoned for an ambulance. You better come with me to Bangor. I've got a car outside. Later, you must go to the police. That confession will save you.
Save Catherine first.
I'll take care of Catherine.
So poor old Sava committed suicide, Inspector.
Looks like it. No sign of the girl or Barlow, sir.
But I found out that a man carrying an injured girl got a lift to a hotel a short while ago.
Ah.
The girl's been taken to Bangor by ambulance. The man answers to Barlow's description, and he's just left for Bangor, too, a few minutes ago.
Then we must try and intercept him.
I've got a rough description of the car, sir. Two other men were with him.
Right. You better come too, Colonel.
Right.
Let's get moving.
Did it heavy rain, Groom?
Yeah.
Can you go any faster?
Very difficult road in the rain, sir. A lot of nasty bends.
Oh, but surely...
Take it easy, Peter. We shall be there almost as soon as the ambulance.
Do you think we're in time, Inspector?
Oh, I think so. With our roadblock here, they won't get by unless they've already passed this point, and I doubt that.
Mm. How will you recognize the car?
Oh, we haven't got the number, unfortunately.
Oh.
But it's a fastback of some sort, dark green.
Ah.
And it's got a mascot on the bonnet, a horse and jockey.
You're a lucky man, Peter. Some people seem to be born lucky. You're one of them. In a short while, you should be a free man. You've got Kostovich's confession with you?
Yes.
Good. Let me have a look at it. Why, what's the matter? You've got the letter, haven't you?
You said Kostovich. How did you know that name?
You told me back at the hotel.
But I didn't. I called him Sava.
You must have done, Peter. How else would I know?
That's what I'm wondering.
You told the governor, Mr. Barlow. I heard you myself.
No, I didn't, Drew, and you weren't there.
Don't be a fool, Peter. You're under a strain.
Yeah, maybe, but I haven't quite lost my wits. I've just realized something else. This car, that mascot on the bonnet, this is Dakin's car.
Don't move, Peter. Stay just where you are.
Can you manage, Governor?
All right, Drew. Keep an eye on the road. We don't want an accident. I have a gun in my pocket, Peter, and it's pointed straight at you.
You?
Yes, I said Kostovich. I've known him for years.
You and Drew. You've been behind it all this time.
You shouldn't have gone to see Hansford that night because I called on him soon after you left.
You killed him.
I needed money for my clinic, my research. Hansford showed me the way to get it, but he became dangerous.
You'd have let me hang.
My work had to come first. And I could blame you for Tom's death. I even taught myself to hate you. It wasn't difficult.
Then why did you help me to get out?
Alive, you were always a menace, even in prison. My own peace of mind, I had to eliminate you.
Oh, yes, it all falls into place. Rance and
Dakin. I failed on the beach, but I can't fail now. I have both of you.
What's that mean?
If Catherine has read the confession, she must go too.
You mean you won't operate on her?
I mean that I will.
What?
Get a move on, Drew.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Catherine. She's just got concussion. Normally, she'd be out of it in a matter of hours. But I shall operate, and no one will question my judgment. She will die on the operating table as soon as we have disposed of you.
There's a car coming, Inspector.
Yes, I see it. Coming fast. It's too fast. Sergeant! Signal him to stop before it's too late.
Right, sir. He'll never stop on this surface.
Stop, you fool!
Stop! Stop!
Oh, my God, run for it!
Goodbye, darling. The ward sister has her eagle eye on me. I overstayed my welcome last visiting day.
Well, I shall be out tomorrow. Goodbye, Drysdale.
Goodbye, old chap. Bye.
And thanks for being on our side all the time.
Not at all, old boy. Not at all. See you at the trial,
surely.
You'll be out tomorrow, Peter. Free.
Yes, relatively speaking.
I embark on a new life sentence then.
It'll be very different from the last one, darling, I promise you. Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
The Hidden Face was adapted by A. Elliot Cannon from the novel by Victor Canny. Peter Barlow was played by Kerry Francis and Catherine Swinton by Andre Melly. Hector Ross played Colonel Drysdale, Howison Kulf, Ross Piper, Patrick Towell, Drew, Clifford Norgate, Rance, Edward Kelsey, Dakin, Sheila Wilcox, Mrs. Dakin, and Hannah Maria Pravda, Mrs. Swinton. With other parts played by Joe Manning Wilson, Reginald Peters, Hilary Mason, Richard Griffiths, Anthony Brothers, and Robin Brown. The Hidden Face was produced by David Geary.
There's a play tonight on Radio 4, and it begins at 8:30. This week, Coral Brown and Michael Horden star in The Lonely Road by Arto Schnitzler. Coral Brown plays the part of a famous actress who, despite her success in her professional life, feels lonely and unfulfilled because she's never had a child. The Lonely Road is our Monday play at 8:30 tonight.